Welcome to Lasting Truth, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Sweet Hills, in Banning, California, where Pastor Ryan Hussein teaches the entire Word of God, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, giving our listeners the opportunity of receiving the full counsel of God. In today's program, we are studying the book of Ezra, chapter 6. Here's Pastor Ryan.
To households and made captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all as theirs also was. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Good stuff. Amen to those words from the Apostle Paul. That's the problem with the church today. That's a problem with a lot of Christians, is they're not given to the Word of God. It says here, always learning, but never coming to an understanding. And there's a lot who hear and hear the word and can quote the word and know the word. And it comes to applying it to their lives or to situations. There's no truth in how they apply it. Always hearing, but never always learning, but never, you know, coming to a place of understanding. So many hearers. We want to be doers of the word. That's where we grow. Where we're doers of the word. That's where, you know, there's perseverance in the work of the Lord. And I give God and his word all the glory for us being here after so many years. You know, I've been walking with him for 25 years and in the ministry for about 24 of those years. So why am I still here? Grace of God and the word of God. It is the word of God. It's the Calvary Chapel style, the word of God. And through the years, who have been the consistent ones? Who have been the ones who persevere? Who have been the ones who forgive more? Who are the ones who are more like family? Hang in there. It's those who are given to the word of God because they understand the Lord more than those who just learn but never grow to understand, who are always hear, but they're not truly listening. Does that make sense? That's why the word of God says, do not grow weary while doing good, for in due season you shall reap if you do not lose heart. Well, the Lord says he desires that men pray everywhere and not lose heart. You know, anxiety in the heart causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. It's the word of God that makes our heart glad. It's the word of God that continues to inspire the work. Right? How do you keep going? I get inspired. That's how. How do you get inspired? You know it. It's very simple. It's his word. Jesus inspires us. He's the word made flesh. And we need more of his word. Hebrews 1 tells us that he upholds all things by the word of his power. The word of his power. He holds our life together by the you know, direct link to how much of the word of God we have in ourselves. That helps us to persevere. You got, oh, the weather's not nice. So what? Persevere. Oh, it's dark and cold. Oh, persevere. Oh, a little sick. Persevere. Who are the ones not persevering? They're the ones that are always learning, but not coming to the place of understanding. If you've learned something, then you should have learned to persevere and not quit. You should have learned through the scriptures that it was going to be hard. You ever read more of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthian church and how terribly rough it is to be a Christian? And why do so many quit? Because they're always learning and not coming to the place of understanding. It's hard, good. It's supposed to be hard. Our faith cannot even grow without hardness. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. The blessings cannot compare to the goodness of our God. God is good to us. And the word is how we get inspired. It says that the Jews built and they prospered as the prophets prophesied to them. Jesus didn't say those are blessed who the prophets prophesied to, but those who hear the word of God and do it. Those are my mother and my brothers. Those are the blessed ones. Those are the ones that grow. Those are the ones that persevere. Those are the ones that are still here after so many. And if you read what I just read in Timothy, you see a lot of the attitudes in a lot of people that are, call themselves Christians and carnal at best. You can see a lot of those attributes in them. If you dig deep into their lives and where are you in the Bible? Yeah, that's a problem. This life has unexpected turns that can crush a man, can crush our spirit. And a lot of you have faced them in your life. Absolute trials that are crushing. Garden of Gethsemane style, crushing like a wine press or an olive press. You've been crushed. You've been broken. How are we still here? The Spirit of God working through His Word that gives us hope, that raises us from these incredibly dead situations. And we look around and see these beautiful flowers starting to bloom, and we love it. It's fantastic. You will rise again, and so will I, especially if we are given to the Word of God. It is what we do. It is who we are. We are a Bible, Word-loving people. Amen? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. And so the elders of the Jews built, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, the son of Iddo. And they built and finished it. How do you finish it? Paul would say, I've run the race. I've run the race. I was up late the other night, just catching up. But anyways, if we want to finish well, it's through the Word. It'll sustain you, right? Let me go to the end of For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, Paul said. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That's what I meant. Anyways, they finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel. Don't we teach our kids to finish things? Finish things. finished. I read a devotion today about giving God your best with the gifts that he's given you. Give him the best. We should, for the fullness of the gifts that we have that God has given, we should do our best in all that we do for the Lord as worship to him. Best moms, best dads, best grandparents, best worker, best this, best that. You know, it's like, you know, for the Lord's glory. He deserves our best. And they built and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel and according to the command of Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. Now the temple was finished on the third day of the month of Adar, which is in the months of February and March, which was in the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. And that's 515 years before Christ, the temple was finished. And it says here, then the children of Israel, the priests and the Levites and the rest of the descendants of the captivity, they celebrated the dedication of this house of God with joy. I like that. And they offered sacrifices at the dedication of this house of God. 100 bulls, 200 rams, 400 lambs. And so we see here that they celebrated the dedication of the house of God. Of course, they did this during the time of Solomon, but it was way grander during the time of Solomon, Solomon's temple. They say there was 200 times more offerings than what we're reading about here. It was way more spectacular, but nonetheless, I love that they are dedicating the house of God with joy. May we never forget what God has done for us in giving us this church. And always rejoice when we come in here of the great miracle it was for him to give a small church this phenomenal property, beautiful buildings. We are blessed. Like it has, a miracle has happened. And for me, as the pastor, it's like I pinch myself every time I come here. Like, whoa, always be joyful when you see this place. Pray over this place. Thank the Lord when you pull into the parking lot for this place, that the lost would be found here, that those who are the feeble knees and the hands that hang lame spiritually, that revival would happen within the hearts of Christians who have not been where they need to be, and the backsliders would come back and the lost would be found, and that we would, as a church, honor him with the ministry we do in this house, that we would live right, that we would be one of the churches in this world that is doing it unto the Lord for his glory according to his word. Amen? So they rejoiced, and so do we. And they offered these things, and as a sin offering for all Israel, 12 male goats according to the number of the tribes of Israel. And they assigned the priests to their divisions and the Levites to their divisions over the service of God in Jerusalem, as it is written in the book of Moses. And so it's interesting that they got 12 goats, one for each tribe, as a sin offering. And we are so blessed to not have to do all of these rites and rituals and offerings and sacrifices, aren't we? We are so blessed that Jesus Christ died once and for all on the cross for our sins. No more. He takes away our guilt. He takes away our shame. He cleanses our conscience. Makes us clean. He purifies our conscience. Justified, just as if we've never sinned. In Hebrews 10, verse 11 through 14, it says, and every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, Jesus, right, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Perfected forever those who are being sanctified. I love that. They can keep their 12 goats. We're fine. We got one lamb. of God. And the descendants of the captivity kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. For the priests and the Levites had purified themselves. All of them were ritually clean, and they slaughtered the Passover lambs for all the descendants of the captivity, for their brethren, the priests, and for themselves. Then the children of Israel who had returned from the captivity, I like this, they ate together with all who had separated themselves from the filth of the nations of the land in order to seek the Lord God of Israel. And so those who had returned from the captivity of Babylon ate the Passover with those who had separated themselves from the filth of the filth of the nations of the land in order to seek the Lord God. And I just love that, that there was a group that had purified themselves, separated themselves specifically from the filth of the nations. And that's a healthy perspective of the world around us, that it is dark and it is filthy. The Bible says to be angry and do not sin. Those who love God must hate evil. We need a healthy perspective of what sin, how the wickedness of sin, and how it destroys people's lives to eternity. It is the most dangerous thing in this world. Isn't another army coming to invade America? The greatest evil in this world is sin. And it's everywhere. And the solution to it is the Lord. And we should have a heart that the things of this world are filthy. We should teach our kids. We should, you know, remind them and remind ourselves that, you know, as John the Beloved said in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, do not love the world, right? Or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, which is, you know, sexual immorality, or the lust of the eyes, which is the lust after possessions and covetousness, and the pride of life, which is self-glorification. It's everywhere. Is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. We should look at it as filthy. We should separate ourselves from the things that are trashy and of this world. You know, we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. If we lose our flavor, we're good for nothing. If we're not going to preserve the holiness of the Lord around us, not just within the church, but even outside, they're lost. They need the truth. And sometimes we have to be like John the Baptist and tell them, you know, it's not right for you to have your brother's wife, right? As John the Baptist would say to Herod, right? So it's we have to be salt and light, but we have to look at these things for what they are, and they're filthy. They're soul killers. They're for what our Lord died on the cross to get rid of, right? If we have a healthy hatred for sin and evil, we're going to stay away from it with a 20-foot pole. And everywhere that I read in the Bible, it's telling us to flee these things and go away from these things and depart from these things and separate yourself from these things. And so many Christians are like, oh, I love Jesus, but I'm going to dabble with this and dabble with that. If you love Jesus, you will stay away from things that can make you fall 20 feet, 20, you know, out of sight, out of mind. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 through 18, God says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. James chapter 4, verse 7, he says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. And so, yeah, these guys ate. I mean, they must have had a wonderful feast, right? You're eating with like-minded people. It's a beautiful thing to eat with like-minded people. People who all, with one accord, love what's good and hate what's bad. All with one accord, love the Lord and hate those perverse things. You know, we bear with the scruples of the weak. We bear with the new believers. We, you know, we long suffer. We teach them and we, oh, you know, we, okay, okay. We show them, oh, that's not good. That's good. That's not good. That's good. That's just the body of Christ. But it really is neat to be around each other and breaking bread like in our potlucks. And everyone's on the same mind, same heart. You know, and they kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy, for the Lord made them joyful. And who makes us joyful but the Lord? It's the Lord who makes you joyful. What do you tell somebody when they say, I'm depressed? I'm like clinically depressed. I cannot get healed. No doctor is, you know, well, maybe a Christian doctor is, you know, going to say, the remedy, I'm going to write you a prescription for Jesus. Because he's the joy giver. And to avoid him is the joy killer. In Psalm 16:11, it says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In Isaiah 61, verse 10, it says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. And in Nehemiah 8:10, do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your what? Is your strength. And so, for the Lord made them joyful and turned the heart of the king of Assyria toward them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. Now, when he says the king of Assyria here, it's the king of Persia. Assyria is no more, but the king of Persia took over all that area. So it's just referring to him as, you know, king of Banning, Beaumont, whatever. You know, you can call him whatever. He's over all of it. And so right here is one of those, they just call him the king of Assyria. But he gave them favor because the Lord had turned his heart towards them to strengthen them. And it's amazing when we receive strength from the most unlikely people in this world. How God uses even kings, even some presidents. It's possible. But at the end of the day, it's the Lord that turns hearts, which is beautiful. And his heart is for you. And his heart is for me. To give you and I a future and a hope. A future and a hope. It's just going to get better. He's moved kingdoms for his people in the Bible. And he moved the kingdom of darkness just to get to you and I. And he has transmitted us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the Son of his love. We are people of light, and our citizenship is in heaven. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love, your grace, and mercy. I just want to ask if there's somebody here who hasn't accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and God has spoken to your heart tonight and you want to surrender your life to Jesus. You know that you have sinned against him and you're ready tonight to repent and accept Christ. Please raise your hand and I can lead you in a prayer to ask Jesus to forgive you and to come into your heart. Is there anybody here who needs to do that? So, Father, we thank you. Pray your blessing upon each home represented here, those watching.
Thank you for joining us today at Lasting Truth Radio. If you're in the area, come out and join us for Sunday services at 8:30 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. We are located at 3035 West Nicollet Street in Banning, California. You can also find us on YouTube or Instagram. If you would like to donate to our program, please do so on our website at ccsweethills.org and hit the online giving tab. We hope you will continue to tune in as we journey through the entire Word of God with the teaching of Pastor Ryan Hussein at Calvary Chapel, Sweet Hills. We adore.